Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the 5th Critic Corner Award Show, presented by The Newsreel. I am the award show host, Andres Segovia. I want to thank you, each and every one of you, for joining me on this day as we go over what I have nominated on both film and television. And that latter part, being about television, is the first time that it's being done for the Critic Corner. As a matter of fact, this award show episode is actually a lot of firsts. Like, for example, this is actually a video. Sure, you're just hearing my voice right now, but that's on purpose. I'm a little worse for wear, and this is just a better way of presenting things. And secondly, I get to use actual video clips this time because my resources allow me to, which is excellent. But also, I've expanded it. So this is a two-part show. The first part is about cinema, which is something that, for those that follow the Critic Corner, are aware of. But last year, I've incorporated television, and I've actually enjoyed more things on television than I have on the big screen. Well, it's a no-brainer. I need to recognize excellent content on television, that includes broadcast, stream service, and cable satellite. So, this first part's going to be for the cinema, and honestly, I don't want to just babble on. I want to dive right into this stuff. So we're going to start up with the categories I come up with for cinema. I had to reduce the amount of categories this year and compared to other years that I've done the Critic Corner Award Show, because it normally was considerably more than four categories that I would do. But in the interest of time, and because I'm also recognizing television, I don't want any redundancies here. I figured, why don't I just reduce it to the main ones, main categories for cinema, and go from there. So, without further ado, we're going to dive into the first one, ladies first. So we're going to be talking about the favorite female performer of the year. And before we get to our nominees, let me explain to you how the category works. And I'll explain how each category works. So, I believe that a lot of us go to the theater to watch a certain film, particularly because of whoever is tied to it. Well, of course, I'm one of those. Sometimes when I just don't read anything about the synopsis of the film, I rely on the actress. Although lately it's not as much, but still plays a huge role in determining whether I'm going to sit through that film or not. And lucky for you and me, I've compiled a list of top performances by an actress in either a supporting or lead role. They're combined here. And to qualify as the favorite female performer nominee for the Critic Corner, the actress must have both A, an outstanding performance, and B, a memorable performance. So here are my favorite performances by an actress.
He needs to play with something real. I'm worried about him being on the phone.
He's doing fine.
Well, I don't give him my phone, so I'd appreciate it if you didn't give him yours.
Okay, well.
Great. I just want him to connect with something.
Joy. Joy. He's really doing fine.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm supposed to be happy.
You just need to rest, okay?
No, I don't. I don't need to rest.
That's what the doctor...
That is not what the doctor said. You don't know what he said because it was a confidential conversation and you don't know what he said.
All right. Like you're impossible to talk to right now.
Well, sorry.
Well, no, you're not sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sorry. You have no idea what's going on in my head.
Yeah, well, try me. I have asked you.
And then what? Then every time you look at me, that's all that you see?
When I look at you, Joy, I will see my daughter.
In 3 weeks, Mr. Mizrani wanted me to consult with you.
You want to consult here or in my bungalow?
That's not funny.
A little funny.
We'd like you to evaluate the paddock for vulnerabilities.
Why me?
I guess Mr. Mizrani thinks since you're able to control the raptors.
See, it's all about control with you. I don't control the raptors. It's a relationship. It's based on mutual respect. That's why you and I never had a second date.
Excuse me, I never wanted a second date.
Who prints out an itinerary for a night out?
I'm an organized person.
What kind of a diet doesn't allow tequila?
All of them, actually.
Well,
And what kind of a man shows up to a date in board shorts?
It's Central America. It's hot.
Okay, okay. Can we just focus on the asset, please?
Boss is not what he says he is.
What is he?
In cahoots with this one. That's what he is. One of them, maybe even two of them, is here to see Domergue goes free.
Are you sure you ain't just being paranoid?
Our best bet is this duplicitous fella ain't as cool a customer as Daisy here. He won't have the leather patience it takes to just sit here. He can't handle it. He'll stop waiting. Try and create his opportunity, and that's when Mr. Jumpy reveals himself.
And what you got to say about all this?
What I got to say? About John Reese Ravens?
He's absolutely right.
Me and one of them fellas is in cahoots. We're just waiting for everybody to go to sleep.
That's what we're gonna kill you.
Yeah, try this on. See if it fits.
Is he CIA? Are you?
He's a DOD advisor just like me.
No, he's not.
But just pay attention to Alejandro, and if he says do something, just do it.
I'm not authorized to follow orders from Alejandro, especially in Mexico.
Fine, then stay here. But you don't want to, do you?
I just want to know what I'm getting into.
Kate, you volunteered to get on this train because you know you're doing nothing in Phoenix. Yeah, you're just sweeping up a fucking mess. In 6 months, every single house you raid will be rigged with explosives. Do you want to find the guys responsible, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
This is where we start. Try it on.
Brie Larson for Room. If you've seen the movie, you'd know why. As soon as I was reading up on this film before it was released, I'm like, wow, I think this is going to be a powerhouse of a performance. And sure enough, it was. She and her son in the film are the driving force of this film. And as a matter of fact, for about an hour's worth of the film, it's just them two in a room. So it made for a very engrossing and powerful experience, a very raw. And it was just a no-brainer to nominate her. And from these four, I have to give it to Brie Larson. Watch Room and you'll understand why her performance speaks for itself. Which is no surprise, that's how good she was. Moving on to favorite male performer of the year. And it's largely the same as the female performer because most people go watch a film because so-and-so's in it. Doesn't matter if you don't know anything about the subject matter or if you have no idea who the hell Doctor Strange is because Benedict Cumberbatch is in it, you'll probably end up watching it if you're one of his fans. I don't care for Benedict Cumberbatch. He's just everywhere now. The dude sticks to Sherlock, finished season 4, please, because I want to see that before any of the cast members die. But anyway, before getting into that, that's normally a reason. The lead actor is one of the reasons why people go watch a film. They either carry the film on their own shoulders or they relate with a noun, like a person, place, thing, or idea. Example, Will Smith relating to a dog in I Am Legend. That was a great example of one actor carrying the film, basically. So to qualify as a favorite male performer nominee, the actor in the lead or supporting role must have both A, in a memorable performance, and B, an outstanding performance. So yeah, it can be great, but what if you just forget it? And it's pointless, right? So yeah, like, how many years has it been since Hannibal Lecter first appeared on the screen there? 1991, was it? Yeah, and people remember today. So how many people remember Russell Crowe in LA Confidential? Well, he won for that one, and it was a great role, but it wasn't memorable, was it? Yeah, those are examples of what I mean. So with that strict criteria, here are the nominees for favorite performances by an actor.
Do you remember how Alice wasn't always in Wonderland?
She fell down, 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 deep in a hole.
Right, well, I wasn't always in Room. I'm like Alice. I was a little girl named Joy.
Nah.
And I lived in a house with my mom and my dad. You would call them Grandma and Grandpa.
What house?
A house. It was in the world. And there was a backyard, and we had a hammock. We would swing in the hammock, and we would eat ice cream.
A TV house?
No, Jack, a real house, not TV. Are you even listening to me? When I was a little older, when I was 17, I was walking home from school.
Where was I?
You were still up in heaven, but there was a guy. He pretended that his dog was sick.
What guy?
Old Nick. We call him Old Nick. I don't know what his real name is. But he pretended his dog was sick.
What's the dog's name?
Jack, there wasn't a dog. He was trying to trick me, okay? There wasn't a dog. Old Nick stole me.
I want a different story.
No, this is the story that you get. He put me in his garden shed. Here. Room is the shed.
Boat is goddamn stink. Besides, the breed ain't that stupid. We keep it, we can lay it up around Arrow's Peak.
Quit acting like you know what you're talking about, Fitzgerald.
Ain't nobody talking to you. We'll listen to you anyway. Goddamn, can't even find your way out your fucking britches to take the shit. All I'm saying is,
come on, Prime.
That ruling is just up the way. And we can hold up there.
We walk.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. Goddamn, wish my daddy was a doctor, then he could have bought me a captain's job.
So what do we do now, right? Bring your pelts ain't rotten if we ever get back here to pick them up.
Make sure to mark this place. We're leaving a fortune under these rocks.
There's no more room here. You gotta move up the hill.
Last. Chart a course. Tightest you can figure that gets us around the reef.
Yes, sir.
This ain't right. Let's go back. This ain't right. We all know that these furs ain't gonna be here by the time we come back.
There's no way we can haul them all the way back to the fort. Not the way we're going. Besides, Arikara are spread all through the territory. We're gonna want our hands free.
I'm trying to tell you we're gonna lose these pelts.
Would you rather hold on to the pelts or your life?
Life? What life you talking about? I ain't got no life. I just got living. The only way I get to do that is through these pelts.
Get your service weapon out. Gun.
Gun. Gun left.
What are the rules here? Stay in your vehicle. You can do what they do. If they get out, you get out. Move!
Wait, wait, wait.
Get out of the car.
Don't move! Pilmeter! No,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no! Compas, compas. Suelte la pistola. Tírela. Pregunta, paisanos. ¿Quieren morir?
As much as I wanted to give it to someone in particular, I have to recognize talent for what it is, because you're never going to see another role of, to this extent for Leonardo DiCaprio. Because that was, wow, way to go. So I'm giving it to Leo. He's the favorite. Moving on to the next category. Most disappointing film. Don't you hate it when you go to the theater with high expectations? You can't wait for the film to debut. And then you're disappointed because of the false hype and misleading advertising. Well, duh, who doesn't? It's sort of qualify as the most disappointing film of the year. It has to be a high-profile film, and B, totally forgettable. So here are my choices for the most disappointing films of the year.
Ultron. My vision. They really did take everything from me.
You set the terms. You can change them.
All right.
Friday, the vision?
Boss, it's working. He's burning Ultron out of the net. He won't escape through there.
Oh.
You shut me out. You think I care? You take away my world, I take away yours.
We cannot run them!
We might! In that quad jumper!
Hey! We need a pilot!
We've got one!
You!
You're found guilty. The people of Red Rock will hang you in the town square, and as the hangman, I will perform the execution. And if all those things end up taking place, that's what civilized society calls justice. However, if the relatives and the loved ones of the person you murdered were outside that door right now, and after busting down that door, they drug you out into the snow and hung you up by the neck, that would be frontier justice. To me, it doesn't matter what you did. When I hang you, I'll get no satisfaction from your death. It's my job. I hang you in Red Rock. I move on to the next town. I hang someone else there.
Okay. Before you start throwing stuff at the screen, whatever you're watching, let me elaborate on each of them in order. Avengers Age of Ultron was just another rehash of the first Avengers, nothing new to the table, and we spent a lot of time with a character no one really cares about. Look, Hawkeye is not Arrow, okay? It doesn't matter how much Marvel tried to upstage DC Comics, Arrow is the better character. And the storyline was just very boring. It didn't bring anything new to the table. It just introduced other characters, obligatory, and just didn't do much. So I kind of respected that. That's why I wasn't really excited for the film. So we'll see what they do with the third one. Hopefully it's not another apocalyptic army of hell-bent on destroying the world. Anyway, Star Wars The Force Awakens. Were you shocked to see that one on this list? Well, I have to explain a little bit, but I also recommend you read my review at thenewsreel.info because I elaborate on this. Because, well, you should have seen it by now if you were intending to watch it. So, spoiler alert, Star Wars The Force Awakens was nothing more than just a rehash of A New Hope. It was A New Hope. Look, J.J. Abrams has a bad rep for just stealing and plagiarizing material from other films when it comes to making his own films. And I break those all down in my review, which I recommend, once again, it's free to go check out at newsreel.info. Because I was excited when he was announced to direct Star Wars The Force Awakens. But as the debut got nearer, I started having my concerns that it might not live up to all the hype. Sure, box office numbers were through the roof. It smashed all these records. It didn't get towards Titanic as of this video. And I don't think it's going to get to Titanic worldwide. But domestically, it's the number one film of all time, nearing, what is it, 900 million? That's a lot of money. It just blew Avatar out of the water. But look, Avatar made a ton of money too. That didn't make Avatar a good movie. Yeah, you heard me. Avatar was a stupid movie. So that goes the same for Star Wars. It was more nostalgia and it made new fans for sure. But for those that have seen the old movies, they would have seen this over and over again. They just happened to watch A New Hope with modern day computers. So Disney didn't want to admit it, but this was not so much a reboot. It was a remake. And if we're frame for frame, character development to character development, plotline to plotline, settings to settings, and including the epic finale was all from A New Hope. So with that, that's why Star Wars made this list. That doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it. There were some great action pieces there, and it was great to finally see actual practical effects. So anyway, that's why it made the list. The Hateful Eight. Quentin Tarantino and a Western. That should have been alone a recipe for a masterpiece. Throw on top of that that he filmed it only using 70mm film. In other words, just IMAX cameras. And on top of that, a lot of the great cast that he's used over and over again in his other films all collided here to put them all basically into one setting and have the tension just come to a boil. And it's Quentin in a Western. It should have been huge for me. And it was... Jackie Brown's my least favorite Quentin film. Well, I don't like the Kill Bill movies. This one was his worst. It was just a bloated, pretentious piece of work that tried to be something it wasn't. And that alone, for all those expectations that were just destroyed, and that I sat through this piece of crap. Yes, piece of crap. Sorry, Quentin. I don't care how beautifully shot this thing was. And your wit did not save this thing. There was flat dialogue, not one great line, and a lot of overacting. That I'm not used to seeing overacting in your films. This one had overacting, and the actors tried desperately to make mundane things sound interesting. Look, you could talk about burgers and Pulp Fiction, and I'll enjoy it. You could talk movies and Inglourious Basterds, and it's awesome. This one had none of the tropes that make a Western, and for that reason, The Hateful Eight is the most disappointing film of the year. For me, that one just, I had so much hope for that film. So much. And it just went out the window. Anyway, let's move on to something more cheerful. Best Animated Film of the Year. So to qualify as the Best Animated Film of the Year nominee, the film must have been A, animated, duh, and B, well done. So here are my choices for the Best Animated Films of the Year.
Anyway, these are Riley's memories, and they're mostly happy, you'll notice, not to brag. But the really important ones are over here. I don't want to get too technical, but these are called core memories. Each one came from a super important time in Riley's life. Like when she first scored a goal. Oh, that was so amazing. Each core memory powers a different aspect of Riley's personality. Like Hockey Island. Goofball Island is my personal favorite.
Come back here, you little monkey!
Yep, Goofball is the best.
Twinkle little star, how I love
you. Mommy, I'm too old for lullabies.
What? That's not how that one goes.
This is the way most people sing it.
Most people? What's wrong with suffer, suffer, scream in pain, blood is spilling from your brain.
Daddy.
Come on, you know how I sang it to you. Zombies gnaw you like a plum, piercing cries and you succumb. Suffer, suffer, scream in pain, you will never breathe again. Still works.
Charlie Brown!
I'll hold the football and you kick it.
You say you'll hold it, but what you really mean is you'll pull it away and I'll land on my back and I'll kill myself.
But I feel I have really come to know you. I now understand that you are kind, compassionate, brave, and funny. No one would pull a football away from a person with all those qualities.
She's right. I would never pull the ball away from someone with all those qualities. I'm gonna kick this ball all the way to the moon.
Arrgh! And gullible. I forgot to mention gullible.
Okay, so let's take it from the top. Inside Out. that's just a very original film. Way to go, Pixar. And very, very well done and super colorful. Yeah, sure, people can nitpick and say stuff about the film, but hey, that doesn't make it any less enjoyable. And Inside Out is the one I have to hand it to, because I expect to encounter that kind of relationship with my daughter, where we're going to have our conflicts, we're going to have our doubts, our issues, the things that challenge us as father and daughter. And just Inside Out is just one of those. That was a really, really well done film. Pixar did it again, duh. And I have to recognize it again this year. So Inside Out takes the cake for Best Animated Film. Best Director. So here they are. These are the leaders, the masters behind the art houses, or the idiots that couldn't pass a grade school film class. And lucky for us, award shows are made to honor the top-notch directors. The creme de la creme, if you will. So to qualify as a favorite director, the film has to be A, masterfully executed, B, expertly acted, C, beautifully told, and D, memorable. So here are not just my favorite, but best directors of the year. No, I am not giving this to Alejandro Iñárritu. I know, sounds shocking. Who's getting it? George Miller. Matthew risked his life. Alejandro had a reshoot. But George Miller created a masterpiece of chaos that you just cannot replicate. He set the bar so high on himself. He's not directing the next movie. Basically, he admitted that much. He wants Guillermo del Toro to direct the next one. Because there's supposed to be two or three other films about Mad Max coming out, or a spinoff about Emperador Furiosa. But Mad Max Fury Road is not only one of the greatest action movies ever made, it is also one of the best masterpieces in any genre of film ever made. Yeah, sure, there's not enough dialogue, the script isn't all of that. That's not what it was about. Those thinly written dialogue pieces were just a string to hold this incredible thing all together. It's just so hard to put it into words, because you have to watch it. Now, let's round out the Editor's Best Picture of the Year nominees. Yes, the creme de la creme of distributed films. Now, some films are downright memorable for their standout material and directing. Those very films are every cast and crew member's dream, to finally be recognized for the long hours of labor. So to qualify as the Best Picture nominee, the film has to be A, a masterpiece, B, memorable, and C, flawless in its execution. So here are my choices for Best Picture of the Year.
Échate la mano para atrás.
Chimila.
Ya, cero, blanca. Échate la mano para atrás.
Cállese, puta madre. Súbase a la verga. ¿Qué
lo viste?
¡Foto! Cállese,
puta.
Órale,
agáchate
la mano para atrás.
Puta madre, súbete.
Aquí ya no cabe.
¡Ey, armas! ¡Chequen que deje armas, güeyes, primero! ¡Puta la verga! ¿Sabes quién soy, edad puto? Te cargó la verga, perro.
Sí, güey.
Puta madre.
Si tiene mucho poder para allá, para allá, ¿no?
Fíjense para atrás.
not bad! He turned his head, he looked me straight in the eye! He was scanning the horizon! No, I am awaiting. I am awaiting in Valhalla!
Butter too, you know that.
Butter!
Oh yeah, mash that in.
Oh, we got it.
Why don't you do some of that? You handle that?
Yeah.
Abracadabra.
Now the candles.
We don't have any candles. No.
We set a birthday cake for real. That means candles on fire.
Jack. It's okay without the candles. It's still a birthday cake.
You should ask for candles for Sunday treat, not dumb jeans.
I'm sorry. You know, I have to ask for stuff that we really need. Stuff that he can get easily.
Team leader, status!
Clear, clear, ma'am. Two suspects in custody.
Team, check in.
You okay, Mason?
Yeah. Why'd he shoot? There's no one here.
Whoa.
Nominees are basically sandwiched with two films dealing directly with the cartel. I've already spoken about these films in some other categories, so I'm not going to elaborate on them anymore. I'm just simply going to tell you that Cartel Land is my pick for Best Picture of the Year. A documentary takes the cake because, well, to be honest with you, I needed two sittings to get through this film. It was one of the most disturbing films I had to watch because of the raw... Well, it's about the drug war. Most of all, it's just like the warfare between the people being terrorized by gangsters, in this case the cartels, and then their own government and police officers not doing anything about it. In some cases, they're in cahoots with the cartels. What makes it even more difficult for me is because it hits very close to home because my own family is being terrorized by punks like these. So it made it for a very difficult and raw experience. And spoiler alert, there's no happy ending here. So that's what made it such a crushing movie to watch, because it wasn't a movie. It was a documentary. And that's the one that takes the best picture of the year. So that wraps it up for the cinema portion of the Creative Corner Award Show. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be doing the TV nominee stuff. All right, guys. Thanks for checking this out. And I'll see you on the other side.